Hour two of the show, Overdrive on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Mark Rowe alongside Gord Miller. Oh, you're giving... That's not a look for me.
No, what was that? Is that
are the we weekend? Human? You're not up on the weekend, Gord?
I am. What was the song?
In Your Eyes?
In Your Eyes.
Anyway. I wasn't expecting that. Got to play the weekend. We're in Scarborough right now.
There you go. Isn't he from...
It's all about variety.
He's from Scarborough, isn't he?
No, he's from... Isn't he from...
I'm pretty sure he's Scarborough.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but... Anyways.
We digress.
Kyle Dubas is going to join us in a couple of minutes. We have a lot to talk about. When he comes on, there's usually a lot to talk about, so the timing's good. But expansion draft, Zach Hyman.
Goaltending.
A lot of decisions to be made here for our Leafs team that, as we have all pointed out, they don't have a whole lot of room to work with here when it comes to the cap.
Yeah, they're snug against it. Now, there's lots of things they can do. I mean, they can create some room. I think one of the misnomers about it is, just go out and get an injured player's contract. Like, you know, go out and get, Nathan Horton contract or whoever. There's a mistaken notion out there that you can be over the cap in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
You can only have $81.5 million worth of healthy players on your roster at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have more than that. You can in the offseason. And that's where those contracts for injured players help you, because you can go over the cap by a certain amount in the offseason. It allows you to do that. But once the season starts, you can only have $81.5 million worth of healthy players on your roster at any given moment. So it's a zero-sum game.
You know that bringing
now
up,
in the playoffs,
it's fair game, as we saw with the Lightning. There might be people listening right now thinking, is Nathan Horton still on the roster?
I think he came off last year.
Yeah, I think so too.
Phil Kessel's retained money is still on. I think this coming year is the last year of that.
It's funny how certain things just you look at whatever site you look at with the cap situation, going, this guy's still costing us $500,000.
Right. I think there are some things they can do.
Mm-hmm.
There are moves they can make with the draft coming up. And there's lots of teams trying to make moves. That's the problem, right? You're not the only team trying to make these moves. There's only a few teams that can take on contracts. Mm-hmm. Seattle's one, Detroit's one, Ottawa's one. New Jersey has some cap space. But teams aren't in the market for necessarily to be your garbage dump.
Yeah.
You got to give them something for it.
Yeah. No, it's a fair point. And how much, when you look at a Leafs roster makeup, do you want to invest in a backup goalie or a situation where, you know, do you try to bring Frederik Andersen back where he wouldn't be getting the money that he probably expected a year ago?
So what's he willing to take?
Yeah.
You know, and was he thrilled about losing his starting job? I mean, was he, you know, does he want to be a starter somewhere? You know, he's kind of there's been a lot of talk analytically about players, you know, skaters, you know, hitting their peak in their late 20s, but there's lots of goaltenders in their peak in their early 30s. So, I mean, Freddie Anderson likely believes he can be a starting goaltender in the NHL.
Yeah, I think you have to remind yourself about goaltenders and their age, because we just talked about Nedeljkovic, you know, and he was a finalist for the Calder. He's 25, right?
Right.
Like, he's not.
They develop later.
Right.
For one thing, they develop for a lot of reasons. You rarely want to throw a teenage goaltender into a National Hockey League net. The Rangers did it with Dan Blackburn with disastrous results, and he got hurt. So that is generally not a good
right.
It's generally not a good idea with skaters, and it's an even worse idea with goaltenders. But, it's an interesting market. Like, you think about, we talked with Ryan Rashog from Edmonton. Like, you think about it, Edmonton made a big offer to Jacob Markstrom last year.
Mm-hmm.
They made a huge offer to Markstrom. He chose Calgary. So they took the money they had set aside for Markstrom. They gave it to Tyson Barry and to Mike Smith. And Mike Smith turns out to have the best save percentage in the division. Like, I mean,
who predicted that?
Who predicts that? I mean, that's the great thing about the sport, is that in many ways it's so unpredictable. But they also have two of the best players. You know, Edmonton has two of the best players in the world.
Right. And also, as we speculate that Zach Hyman's going to Edmonton, how do we know he'll have the same production there that he did with Toronto, because who's he been playing with?
Yeah, it's not. Like,
he's been playing with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner or William Nylander, if you go back, you know, a year. I know that they tinkered with that third line a bit with having Zach Hyman on it, but, You know, and hey, they have no shortage of talent over in Edmonton. It's just sometimes the fit. Just ask Taylor Hall, who looks like he's going to sign with the Boston Bruins. And I don't know if he's leaving money on the table somewhere else, but probably smartly saying, it worked out well in my short time with Boston. Why not stay here?
Where they like you and you like them is a big factor for sure. And you know, you make the good point about Zach Hyman. Hockey isn't baseball. Like, for the most part, when you get a baseball player, you have a pretty good idea within a range what you're going to get. Right, yeah. Like George Springer is not going to hit 220 for the Blue Jays.
Right.
He's not going to hit four home runs.
Or he's not going to do it because suddenly he's with Toronto and his teammates are
right.
Different.
Like, there's certainly, you know, who you bat behind, who you bat ahead of. There's all kinds. But for the most part, in hockey, it is much more difficult to pin down. And there's lots of examples of free agents flatlining with their new team. There's also examples. We talked about Vegas, you know, like Colin Miller went from being a defensive defenseman in Boston to being a 40-point defenseman with
Vegas.
That's
a good point.
Who thought that was going to happen? I mean, there's all kinds of, if you want to call it, organic reasons that players succeed and don't succeed in that sport. And so, but for the most part, you know, having good players is an advantage.
Yeah.
And certainly Edmonton will never be terrible as long as they have those two guys. The Leafs will never be terrible as long as they have those top-end guys.
Yeah.
Can they be great? It remains to be seen.
Jury's still out.
Can they be a great team? That remains to be seen. And it's a philosophical question about how you build a team. There's no right way to do it, no wrong way to do it. There's historic ways. History teaches us certain things, but history's not always instructive.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that will complain that we just talked about, you know, three or four of the best players in the NHL not having success in the playoffs, and some of that is because, you know, playoff hockey is different, and it's called different, even though the NHL...
Shouldn't be, but... Yeah,
well, the NHL publicly will say, we tell our officials to call the game the exact same way in the playoffs as they do in the regular season, and that the style is the same. Obviously, that's not the case. You know, it took on a different life in the series with Montreal, and that's why we are here asking a lot of questions, including to our next guest. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Leafs General Manager Kyle Dubas. Good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Let's get right to the real important question. How's your golf game, and could you still beat Duffy and O currently?
So my golf game has not been attended to very much for obvious reasons. So I would have to say no. But you never know what could happen out there. We'll hope to get through the next couple weeks and be able to get out a little bit more. But golf is well down the priority list at this stage.
And that is the answer every Leaf fan wants to hear right now. Let's start with Zach Hyman. And you answered a lot of questions during your media availability. How difficult is it to kind of balance the emotional attachment to a player like Zach and a guy who means so much to your lineup with also a guy who's in, you know, his late 20s, he's 29, he has an injury history, he plays a physical brand of hockey and will also demand and will get a long-term deal?
Well, I think in these situations, you try to evaluate, do you want the player back? And in this case, I think, you know, we can unequivocally say yes. But then it's a matter of going through the AAV that is going to be required to do so, analyzing whether that's whether that fits for us and works for us, and then going through and looking at the term and the long-term risk. And so there's a number of factors, especially with the cap being flat, that come into play for better or worse, and that is where we're at now. So we have some hope still, but these are unfortunately one of the more difficult parts of this is that you've got a player that's given a lot to the organization and been a great person away from the rink and in the community, and at some point you just have to make these calls, and that's where we're at now.
Kyle, you've heard obviously the stories that, you know, he's been talking to Edmonton a little bit. He'll likely have at least the framework of an offer. He can't sign with Edmonton until next Wednesday unless you trade the rights there. But will you go back to the Hyman camp with an offer between now and next Wednesday?
I have not had discussion with Todd Reynolds today. You know, we'll see where that goes to. We tried, one of the things that we tried to do in this gourd was, you know, Todd had kind of told me what other teams were hinting at they may do, which were beyond what we had thought we would be willing to do and are able to do, given our constraints with the salary cap and so on. And so last week, last Monday, so 9 days ago now, we gave Todd permission to begin engaging with other groups, and talk to Todd later in the week and Zach as well, and so we'll see where that goes. We try to be kind of get ahead of it a little bit and really ensure that what they thought was going to be out there was out there, and then we'll see where it all lands here in the next week. But we'll continue to have discussion if they're warranted and proceed from there.
Kyle Dubas joining us on Overdrive, and the quote that you had today that got a lot of attention, and no surprise here, but that you believe in this group and you believe that they will win and that you are willing to bet everything on that. Why do you have so much confidence in a group that still hasn't had any success in the playoffs?
I think it's because I don't expect others to look at it and feel the same way, because you know, they've seen, and as fans of the team have lived the disappointment for far longer than I've been a member of the group, and we've been a management group here, and I know all of that stuff has a long-term impact, Mark, on the way that people respond to further disappointment as it goes along. And I don't think anything we say or do today can make anyone feel better about the fact that we fell short of expectation this year, and I think we fell short of the hope that we gave people with the way that we performed in the regular season. And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people feel the way they do now, not to mention the previous years or decades in some case of the team never getting to the level that the fans want it to get to. But as for why I believe in the group is that I know who they are as people. I see the work that they put in. I know their talent level. And I think it's much better to go through life believing in people or something, even and especially in the face of major doubt or when it's failed and it needs to pick itself back up. And that's just how I feel about the group. And so I'd rather believe and be wrong than doubt and shift course and begin to change the way that we've done it and then look back and regret that, because I do have I see the players every day in our facility and see the work that they put in and the direction, the criticism that they're willing to take in order to get better, especially of late. I know it hasn't manifested itself in success in the playoffs, but I think if we continue to remain steadfast and stick with our convictions, that belief will be rewarded.
Kyle, there is a school of thought in the NHL and management circles and certainly with fan bases that it's very hard to win when you have four players, all forwards, making half your cap. How do you respond to that?
I would say that the criticism, Gord, is fair, because I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. I think Pittsburgh between the 2007-2010 seasons had a similar breakdown. I don't think it was all forwards, but they had a similar sort of cap concentration amongst the top three or four guys at that time on their club. But I understand the reason why folks would look at that and say, you know, they don't think we can win with that cap construction, because it's not been done. And you know, the reality is that it wasn't the plan from the outset. You know, when we looked at it prior to the pandemic, the cap was going to continue to rise, and we would have our core guys locked up for between 5 and 7 years, and things would the percentage of cap would change as it went on. Unfortunately, the pandemic happened. It's affected people outside of athletics and professional sports far more than it's impacted us, but we have to adapt to it. And I think by moving out the players that we really like, I don't think we would find better players than them. And so it falls on me and our management team to find the pieces around the group that can continue to have it break through. So I understand why people doubt it. I don't try to fight the doubt and criticism of it. I think it's up to us to show that we can do it. Until then, I think people having their doubts about it are completely fair, and it's on us to show that we can earn that belief from outside of our facility, whether it's fans or media, others in the league, whomever that may be. But I don't begrudge that or try to combat that at all. It's up to us to show that it can work.
He is the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Kyle Dubas joining us on Overdrive. You avoided losing anyone from last year's roster in the expansion draft, and that happens after you make the move to acquire Jared McCann, who is now going to Seattle. Is this how you envision the day playing out? And maybe the better question is this the way that you had hoped the day would play out yesterday?
We didn't really have any hope. Mark, in terms of in terms of who we would lose or not, the way that we looked at it was we wanted to get through the expansion draft with losing as little as we could from our roster, or without having a big time effect on the roster where we would then have to go out and trade in free agency and have to replace the player. And so we took really from the trade deadline on, tried to acquire as much information as we could about, who Seattle may be looking at, who they may be favoring. And as we went through it, I think the determination was that, if we were to go with 7-3, that they would certainly select a defenseman, and that defenseman would likely be Justin Hall, or the market for Hall would be so great elsewhere that they could take him and flip him. And so our decision was, could we leave Hall exposed and expect for him to go unselected? And if he were selected, could we expect to replace him and what he brings at the cap hit that he plays for? And our determination was that no, we cannot. So then we went through the rest of our process and tried to determine who they would likely take, if we went 4-4, and then could we replace that player? And what was going to be the best way to go about that free agency. And then eventually the opportunity came along to add another player in trade who we knew may be of interest, and then really force Seattle into pick between one of our two players. And so if we got out from expansion, having given up a very late pick and a prospect, that would be a good outcome for us. If Seattle were to take another forward, we would have McCann as a replacement, and then be able to proceed from there. So it's kind of just hedging the risk for us a little bit and trying to get through it without giving up as much as other teams, or finding a way to get through as unscathed as possible, because we were going to lose something in expansion regardless.
Leaf GM Kyle Dubas is with us. Kyle, Jack Campbell has never started more than 26 games in a season. That was 2 years ago between LA and Toronto. So with that in mind, two-part question. Number one, I mean, is it reasonable to think he'll start 50-plus? And secondly, how much of a focus, where does getting another goaltender rank on your list of priorities?
Oh, it's a big priority, Gord. I think you have a lot of belief in Jack, for sure. I think, he would have surpassed that number easily if it would have been a full season this year, but still not up in the range that you mentioned there at 50 games. I think for us, the key is we can talk about all the other parts of our roster that we want, but if we don't properly supplement our goaltending and provide a partner for Jack that can challenge him, and the two of them can support each other, and when either of them may have a rough pass, the other can pick them up, I think we'll be putting ourselves in a tougher position. So that really for us is a key as we head into next week. And if next week there isn't a market there, then we'll check down to looking at trades throughout the summer and heading into the season. So, we've built up a little bit of depth there in our minor league system. We've got four other guys already signed there between Michael Hutchinson, Eric Colgren, Joe Wall, and Ian Scott. But, you know, one of our key focuses will be on finding a really good partner for Jack here, knowing that we've got the depth part taken care of. And then our hope is that Jack continues to develop and evolve and shows that the way that he played throughout the season and into the playoffs, he's able to do that all throughout the season, and then we found a long-term solution there. And it, and if not, then we've got a solid partner for him for sure that can challenge for that same slot in the goaltending depth chart.
Is Frederik Andersen still part of that equation?
Yeah, no, the door is definitely not closed on Fred.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I mean, as it stands right now, you have about $9.5 million in cap space. You've got what, 10 forwards, I think 6 defensemen, a goalie under contract. So if it's either a Hyman or a Hyman replacement and a goalie, you don't have a lot of space, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say, Gord. I think the, you know, you're alluding to basically one more spot on the forward group, and then I think we'll also look to increase our depth on defense and really look at depth players, which is sort of interchangeable in terms of the cap, as long as they're below a certain threshold, to improve our depth up front as well. So, you know, I think you'll see a lot of those moves from us. The key focus is, of course, you alluded to up front and in goal, and we view it as having a little bit more flexibility than that, because we think we can, between guys who were here last year or various free agents that we've kind of, as we've sort of gone to this process, we've got ourselves a pretty extensive list of guys that we feel for lower dollars can come in, and if we sign a few of them, they can really challenge on the forward front. Then we can have a little bit more flexibility at the top of our forward lineup as well. And we've got guys I think we want to see with an opportunity next season as well to do more, whether it's an Ilya Mikheyev or Nick Robertson or Pierre Engvall, all those different types of things. We can move, you know, we can move Kerfoot over to the wing as well and have that option, and we can look for more of a bottom of the lineup center to supplement him, so we have that flexibility. So we don't, this is more flexibility certainly than we had last year in free agency, and so we have to check off our priorities and then be able to really excel in the depth areas, which I think, and it's on me, we haven't done that well in the past. I'm more speaking of last year, and this year, just have to do a better job there.
Kyle, I know you won't use this as an excuse in the series against Montreal, but losing John Tavares so early in that series was a big blow to the lineup, and thankfully he's doing okay. The nature of the offseason is we don't get a lot of updates. How is John doing, and what is sort of the forecast for him as you get a little bit closer to training camp in the fall?
Sure. Yeah, John's been fully cleared to return to all on-ice activity, but I think, you know, there'll still be the fact that he won't have been in contact situations and such until we get back into training camp, maybe in some of those informal skates before that the players run. He may be able to replicate a little bit of that, but you know, I think with an injury of that nature, you know, you're always a little bit, you're not always a little bit, you're always very cautious about the way that that a player returns. I think in this case, with there being a lot of time elapsing between the injury there in late May and training camp opening in mid-September, I think that's a good thing for us, but you know, and certainly for John. So now we'll just, you know, we've got to do everything we can to make sure to the type of injury where we certainly can't take anything lightly. We've got to do right by John, and we certainly will. But all indications are that that he'll be good to go. It'll just be a matter of him getting back into rhythm as best he can, and us supporting him in that regard.
Kyle, I know it's a busy day. We appreciate you coming on the show, and maybe you'll play a round of golf soon. Well, you know, once some of this business is done.
Yeah, golf will definitely be well down the list, but I hope you're right. Thanks, guys.
Let's go.
Thank you. There's Kyle Dubas joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today, mapletoyota.com. Did we get some answers there, Gord?
I think we did. I think the one thing is that he will stick with the process. He will stick.
He definitely
will. And I think the one thing, you know, the other thing we talk about Kyle Dubas is that he's a fan of sports.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly he watches Manchester City in the Premiership and how they built their team. Now, again, no salary cap in that league. But, you know, if you think back, over time there have been disruptors in sports. The Golden State Warriors, you know, in 10, 12 years ago, the way they were shooting threes, people thought it was madness. You can't win doing that. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certainly, there have been examples in sport of people who have disrupted and done things in a different way that's been successful. So just because something hasn't been done before doesn't mean it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you ask him about, you know, four forwards making half the cap. And he acknowledges that, you know, that is, there's lots of valid reasons to question that. But he's committed to it. He believes in it. He studied it, and he's committed to it. So I don't think he's stubborn. I don't think he's ignoring all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I think he honestly believes this can work. It remains to be seen. It hasn't yet. There's been some regular season success, which might indicate that'll come, and lots of teams have failed in the playoffs for a while before they broke through. But, you know, this is not how traditionally NHL teams, successful NHL teams, have been built.
Right.
So he talked about Pittsburgh. He talked about Pittsburgh in the late 2000s, like 07, 08, 09.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was Crosby, Malkin, Letang.
Fleury.
So that was a goalie, a defenseman, two forwards. So that's a different situation. I mean, he acknowledged it. They don't have a lot of money to spend to fill some pretty significant holes in their lineup. So they're going to have to try to outscore people most nights.
And I thought of, you know, with the Montreal Canadiens getting closer and closer to winning a Stanley Cup, which of course they didn't do, Carey Price being the first, you know, the first $10 million player to win a Stanley Cup, right?
To which?
Carey
Price didn't win the cup, though.
No, I'm saying... Like,
oh, I see. Sorry, yeah.
This might happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
The $10 million number becomes kind of the magnet that everyone talks about. It's actually the percentage of the cap,
mm.
right? So for a long time, no $10 million player won because that would be like 16% of your cap.
Sure.
Now $10 million is like...
It'll eventually happen it could happen.
When the
right
cap
now,
goes to $120 million,
yeah.
A $10 million
that's
player
just,
will
win. But I'm just saying, so, with the Leafs, there's a couple of guys there now.
The issue to me, the central issue to me, is the four forwards making half.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the central issue for Toronto. And everything else flows from that. The fact that they might not be able to get the kind of backup goaltender they want, the fact that they might not be able to keep Zach Hyman, the fact that other players have had to go, to me flows from the fact that four forwards make half their cap. And so people are sick of me talking about it, and I'm sure Kyle Dubas is sick of people asking about it. But until they break through... It hasn't worked.
Well, every other GM knows that, and you wonder how many GMs, whether it's now or during the season, call Kyle Dubas and say, "You want to trade one of these guys?"
Right. And so it, for me, it went back to Chicago. Chicago won 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years.
Yep.
With Taves and Kane making $6 million. As soon as Taves and Kane made $10.5 million each. Chicago wasn't won a playoff series.
Yes. No.
So it's not, you just, it is literally a zero-sum game. There are 81 and a half million beans in the jar.
Mm-hmm.
If you, Mark Rowe, get 12 of them, and Mulls gets, well, he gets 14 because he's most the MVP.
High-priced talent
over
there.
Al's brother gets one, and...
You lose one race to O, buddy.
Sorry. But you know what I mean, right? There has to be less. You get more, by definition, someone else has to get less.
Yeah.
Now, that can be the way it worked for Tampa is lots of guys on entry-level deals.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of developing players on cheap contracts. And when they lose a guy like Yanni Gourde,
yeah.
they're going to plug in Alex Bure-Boulet, who was an undrafted free agent who's been tremendous in the American League. And now they'll try him in the NHL and see if he can fill that slot.
You know, every sport in its own way has to deal with it. You look at the NFL and how many, you know, the emphasis on trying to win with these young, talented, elite quarterbacks in those first 3 years because they're on those rookie deals. and then they hit it big. You know, Dak Prescott just became
right.
You know,
the difference is those guys can restructure their contracts. Mm. The big difference in the NFL is those guys can restructure their deals if they choose to. Mm. And so right now, Green Bay is trying to restructure Aaron Rodgers' deal. You cannot do that.
And his feelings.
Right. Good point by you. And so they're trying to – that's the hard part. You cannot restructure a deal in the NHL. As much as Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Nylander might want to go to Kyle Dubas and say, here's a couple of million of my money, spread it over a longer term, let's get ourselves a goalie and a defenseman, you can't.
Well, we got that every year with Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? Always restructuring and restructuring. So we'll continue to react to Kyle Dubas and the news of the day, and we'll be following the news of the day. Darren Dreger is going to join us in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, Andy Petrillo, host of Leafs Lunch, also the host of the Olympics on CBC. We'll get her thoughts on the Olympics.
Who to watch for?
What's that?
Who to watch for?
Who to watch for?
Yeah.
Good.
She'll know.
Well, if you're watching for medals, the women... it's going to be, for at least for Canada, that's for sure. That's all coming up. Overdrive on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. I am sitting next to a very happy man, Gord Miller, right now.
Green Day is my go-to.
I know.
That's my go-to.
I didn't want to jinx it or pressure Mulls, but in our previous segments I said, well, now we just need Green Day to be played. But Mulls, you don't like to be pressured when it comes to the music, so I didn't want to put you in a corner.
It's okay. Sorry, I like to pander to the crowd.
You know what? It's never worked for me.
Never.
I should try pandering to the crowd more.
Yeah. Yeah. Once in a while, right?
No.
No. At this point, you're already successful with the way that you're doing things. I wouldn't try to go off track, would you?
Can't change now.
No. Mark Rowan for Brian Hayes. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4 in about 25 minutes. We'll find out roughly the Leafs schedule.
Yeah, so we'll get, so the key questions that the teams have their schedule, they've seen them. So the key questions they'll ask, they'll look at how many back-to-backs do we have. So in the last full season the Leafs played 2 years ago, they had 13 back-to-backs. Winning the second half of a back-to-back is obviously very difficult.
Right.
So statistically it's tough. So the number one thing you want to see is how many back-to-backs do we have? How many times do we cross the border going back-to-back? So are we coming back from New York, going through customs, and then playing at home the next night? Or vice versa, are we playing at home and then playing in New York the next night? Or are we traveling a long distance? So that's the first thing they'll try to break down out of that. And you know, now with analytics about goaltenders being as advanced as they are, and the stats that we have, coaches at the start of the year try to map out. Well, first of all, the first thing they do is they map out their schedule, their practice schedule, because don't forget there's mandated days off from the PA for a month. So you try to figure out a practice schedule and rest schedule, and then your goaltending schedule. You got to map out, and barring injury, you got to map out what your goaltending schedule looks like.
Right, and if memory serves me right, 2 years ago the Leafs struggled in back-to-backs.
They were 6-7, I think. They won 6-7.
That's not as bad as...
Not terrible.
Okay. But much better this past year. Now, they also had Jack Campbell, and for the first half of the year, Frederick Anderson. We don't, again, to jump on our conversation from earlier, we don't know what the tandem is going to be. We don't know Jack Campbell being the starter.
It's a huge question.
On a larger sample size, can he keep those numbers going?
It's a huge question for the Leafs, Mark. Like the fact that he's never started more than 26 games in a season, he's 29 years old. So
in NHL, right? Like he had an AHL.
But he's never started 26 NHL games, more than 26 NHL games in a season. So, he's going to be 30 in January. So if he can give you 52, that's probably a good number.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big leap.
Yeah.
But you still need 30. Like if you think Daryl Sutter has a lot of philosophies on hockey. Some are good and some are. but Daryl's thing always was, your backup goaltender should be 500.
Yeah.
Your starter should win you 10 games that you would otherwise lose, and your backup goalie should be 500 to be a successful team.
And
so you're asking your backup goalie, in theory, if Campbell goes 52, to win you 15 games.
And a lot of teams that have had success have done it, have had sort of the duo. Like Boston's had a good duo going for the last few years.
Yeah. And
Montreal with Jake Allen and Carey Price. Tampa's obviously the outlier because they have the best goalie
but
in the world.
But Curtis McElhinney is a very capable back.
Very.
You don't
have to tell this fan base.
Right. And you know, Jamie McLennan, will tell you, Noodles will tell you, how difficult it is to be a good backup goaltender. It's a very different mindset than being a starter because, for one thing, you might go in and play great and then not play again for 3 weeks. Or you might go in and play, your team plays terrible in front of you, you struggle, and now you got to stew in it for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go in, the team's getting pounded, and the starter, the number one goalie, is on the bench in a ball cap, you know, watching the Jumbotron. He ain't coming in. Like, remember the night Al Montoya took a 10 spot for Montreal? Like, and we've talked about it before, like, there were nights when Dominik Hasek was dressed as the backup for Detroit in name only. He wasn't wearing a chest protector.
He had no equipment. He looked like a guy in the stands with the jersey.
He looked like a guy going to a contest. Like, I think that's, what was your biggest takeaway from Dubas?
The Justin Hall comment about the expansion draft and bringing up his value. And as much as, you know, these are human beings, but everyone has a number attached to them. And it's not, and, you know, Justin Hall is not a number one defenseman, or at least is not shown to be a number one defenseman. But with his cap hit and what he brought to that second pairing and solidifying that side, you know, there's too much there for the Leafs that they had to find a way to protect him. And by protecting him, then they had to go down this road of acquiring someone, and it ended up being Jared McCann, to protect Justin Hall. And they were either going to lose Alex Kerfoot, Jared McCann, and maybe Travis Dermott.
Right. So for me, the biggest takeaway was his commitment to the path that they're on. And he talked about you can't now deviate from the path. Now, someone would say that's, if you're heading for an iceberg, you should deviate from the path. Some would say that. Or if something's clearly not working. I mean, when you talk to people in the military, one of the key attributes a general has is knowing when to retreat or when to change course.
Right.
That just blindly following the same course isn't always a great idea. But he believes in this process. He believes in what they've done here. And that includes the way they've allocated the money. Now, as he points out, the flat cap hurts Toronto as
more
much
than most.
More than most. Tampa and Toronto and for different reasons. But the fact is everyone has to deal with it. So that's not an excuse. And if you hadn't put yourself in that position, you'd have more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he is committed. He believes in this. As he said, he's willing to bet it all on it.
Yeah, and how much does that go to his back success as well? Like winning a Calder Cup and doing it a certain way.
No salary cap in the AHL.
Yeah.
That team had like a $12 million payroll in the American League. They had a very expensive American League team that won the Calder Cup. A lot of veterans on one-way contracts. So you're right, though. I mean, it is a
but you know, Kyle Dubas's legacy right now, and it obviously can change with a run in the playoffs, is giving his guys their money. Like William Nylander's deal in terms of value is great now, but for the first bit it was this albatross of a contract.
Well,
because if
Lou Lamoriello was still the Leafs GM, Nylander would have missed that season, or he would have knuckled under,
right? Or maybe would be on a different team right now,
or that,
right?
Yeah,
would Mitch Marner make as much? Austin Matthews? Would they have John Tavares?
One thing I think that we can all agree on that the Leafs have to improve, they've got to get better at the draft. They've got to get more assets in the draft.
Well, now, they have three chances to do well in the draft.
And the problem is it's, you know, no first. Mm-hmm. I think what's their first pick this year?
It's Foligno?
They
have a second round pick.
They have a second round pick. And so, you know, they have a second, a fifth, and a sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, historically, the fifth and sixth rounds are not fertile ground for finding players. But they're going to have to get better at the draft. They're going to have to be successful long term, to contend long term, you have to do well at the draft. So they didn't do great from 13 to 17. There's a few hits in there. I mean, obviously, at the top end, Yeah, Matthews is a hit. Marner's a hit. Nylander's a hit. Riley's a hit. But I'm talking about you've got to do better after the first round. That guy they pick in the second round this year has got to be a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're going to need guys internally that take another step. Like what Nick Robertson or Rasmus Sandin or someone else.
Timothy Liljegren. So here's a question, another philosophical question, though.
Jeez.
That is, we've seen, we watched the playoffs, and we saw the two big defense cores. And we look at Vegas with a big defense. And we look at Colorado with a pretty big defense. Can you win consistently with smaller defensemen? Can you? I mean, because Sandin and Liljegren are smaller guys.
Right. Now, but you can get wrapped up into analyzing a series, right?
You're right.
So, but was that the difference with Montreal? Or was it simply, you know, the power play could never get back on track in the second half of the year? And if that's different with this group of talent, which you have to have some belief that it will, then they probably win that series.
Well, the power play wasn't bad in the series. It was good, especially early on. I don't think, to your point earlier, I don't think you could evaluate a team based on one playoff year.
Yeah.
Because you got to take a long sample, and the Leafs have been reasonably successful in the regular season. It hasn't translated to the playoffs. Detroit had a long string of playoff failures before they broke through. Washington had a long string of playoff failure before they broke through. Is Toronto equipped to do that? Now, if they struggle in the regular season, then you start to ask yourself if you have to change course. One of the most hopeful signs for the Leafs is the general manager's edict at their meeting, call penalties.
Yeah.
So even though the power play struggled at times, never mind that. If players are hesitant to lay their stick on someone, a skilled team like the Leafs will benefit from that.
Well, and that's the argument that the Edmonton could make, that Toronto could make, that you know, the star players who made things look easy at times in the regular season, you know, their talent got kind of sucked up a little bit. And this, you know, we sound like people in Toronto making excuses, but just in terms of the NHL, you know, they want Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid in the playoffs and going on runs because they are the ones that sell this game. And they're not the only ones, and it's not like Tampa can't sell the game either. But, you know, I don't like the idea of playoff hockey. Well, it's playoff hockey, and you got to figure it out, right?
Like I came back from the World Championship in Latvia, sat down and watched an NHL game, went, well, that's a penalty. Wait a minute, none of those are penalties.
Right, and how many of them would have been called in the regular season?
Right, so you know, my philosophy is, I believe this firmly. Mm-hmm. A penalty in the first minute of the first game of the season is a penalty in the last minute of the third period of Game 7.
Yeah. Lots of news all week long. It will continue tomorrow with the draft, Saturday with the draft. Our hockey insider Darren Dreger is going to join us at 6:05. Maybe he can give us some of those answers, or maybe an update on the Zach Hyman situation, as it looks like the Edmonton Oilers are getting closer to signing him or making some sort of move with the Toronto Maple Leafs where they could sign him. Also, Andy Petrillo at 6:25. Is Overdrive continues on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Overdrive continuing on TSN 1050 and TSN 4 alongside Gord Miller, Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes. And as we talk about big contracts in the NBA a year ago, the big contract was Giannis Antetokounmpo deciding to stick with Milwaukee and the reaction of really like you're deciding now and you're going to stay in Milwaukee where you guys have struggled in the postseason. Everything's coming up Greek Freak.
It's like, you know,
one of the great performances.
Yeah, and you know what? I think he made the comment afterwards, like, you know, you can go join a super team. And that's been kind of the thing in the NBA last few years, right? That stars have gone in groups to the various teams to try to win it. And his thing was, you know what? This is harder but more rewarding. And he's just such a – there's just so much to like about him. I mean, even his, you know, his story in Greece where – you know, he has Nigerian parents.
Yes.
And they wouldn't grant him citizenship in Greece for a long time. It wasn't until right before the NBA draft that he was granted citizenship. And he and his brother shared shoes. I mean, it's just a... And he's just such a... I mean, he... he's just such a ball of positive energy. Like, you just, whenever you watch him, you just feel. And I sat courtside for a Bucks game in Toronto, and he stood in front of me to inbound a basketball.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, and the like, physical transformation on top of his skills, because he was so raw.
I've never seen anyone that big move that fast.
Yeah, it's and you know, English is not his first language, and he comes out with, you know, quotes like, you know, when you're always talking about your past success, you know, that's your ego.
Yeah.
When you're talking about what you're doing moving forward, that's your pride. You know, it's like, that's a good quote from any philosopher.
Yeah, no kidding. I guess
he's Greek. But
someone with an English degree would be hard-pressed to come up
right.
with. And I just love so much about him. And you know, you're not supposed to cheer for anyone and everything else, but, man, it was nice to see, isn't it? It was just great to see someone that genuine and that authentic and that good get rewarded.
Yeah. So, and he talked a lot about the experience losing to the Raptors.
Yeah.
And what did they think going down 0-2 and how they won four straight and how the Bucks did that a lot. So Giannis and the Bucks still celebrating in Milwaukee. A lot of players in the NHL will be celebrating new deals next week. Darren Dreger is going to join us at 6:05. The show will continue on TSN 2, and, of course, will continue on TSN 1050.